So we are working with the communities mostly in shifting power. So the women and girls in the communities have like more capacity and access to the resources. So they are more prepared to the risk that they are facing in their communities.
This is a podcast called Walk, Talk, Listen. An attempt to connect people and make this world a bit better by sharing opinions and experiences based on the belief that everyone's perspective is true, albeit partial. My name is Maurice Blom, and I would like to welcome you to yet another episode of Walk, Talk, Listen. Episode of the podcast Walk, Talk, Listen, and we are still at CSW 68, the Commission on the Status of Women, and I'm delighted, as always, with today's guest, who will introduce herself. Sakar, can you please tell the listeners who you are?
Yeah, thank you, Maurice. Thank you for having me here. My name is Sakar, so I'm from Indonesia. Mm-hmm. I'm working for Yakum Emergency Unit. So mm-hmm. It's like an NGO working a humanitarian, articulating the inclusions in the disaster risk reductions, emergency response, and climate change adaptations. And we are working with the communities, the local mm-hmm. communities, including disability, older people, and women's groups.
And your organization is based in Yogyakarta?
Yes, in Yogyakarta,
okay,
Indonesia.
So that's Central Java for the listeners. But do you work in different parts of Indonesia or only on Java?
Right now, I'm working in Yogyakarta and Central Java. So.
Okay, yeah. Mm. And Indonesia is very often struck by, you know, different natural disasters, right?
Yeah,
so
that's
you're busy.
Yeah. We are having like four emergency response in Central Java, mm-hmm. responding for flood.
Okay.
Yeah, that's very busy in my office right now.
Yeah, wow. Okay, but you're here.
Yeah, I'm here.
And why are you here?
Yeah, that's a really nice question, Maurice. So, in the context of the humanitarian and crisis, we know that women and girls are impacted disproportionately with the disasters, mm-hmm. and there's a research on the disasters that women and girls are 14 times greater at risk. Mm. And we conducted like a community mapping with the intersectional approach, and we found that there's like a gender norms that the key mm-hmm. factors of that. So we are working with the communities mostly in shifting power. So the women and girls in the communities have like more capacity and access to the resources. So they are more prepared to the risk that they are facing in their communities.
Mm. Mm. And your participation this week, well, last week and this week, you're part of a bigger entity, right?
Yeah,
you're part
yeah.
of the ACT Alliance delegation. So tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so we are... So Yakum Emergency Unit is a member of the ACT Alliance. It's mm-hmm. like a global coalition for the faith-based organizations. Yeah. And this year, I have the opportunity to represent the youth community of practice. So mm-hmm. in the ACT Alliance structures, there's... different community of practice, and one of them is youth participation.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm representing my community of practice.
Okay, and did your delegation have a certain goal in mind, or was the main goal to just participate and listen, or were you also trying to influence ultimately the final, you know, document and recommendations?
Yeah, sure. So for the members with the, I mean, like, capacity that have like strong engagement with mm-hmm. the government, their the member states, I mean, like they include and involve in the negotiation. Mm-hmm. But for me, as I'm very new, this is my very first time at the CSW, and this is they facilitate me with the space to learn. So mm-hmm. my goals is for the capacity building and to see the process of the CSW in the from the youth perspective. So this is very interesting for me.
Okay, mm-hmm. so
And how is that going so far for you? If I ask you, you know, what is the most significant person or event that you have experienced, you know, until today, what would you reply?
Yeah. So last week, I got here like in the Thursday. Mm-hmm. And last week in Saturday and Sunday, I attended like a youth forum. So it's organized by the UN Women.
Yeah.
And it's like the forum dedicated for youth to reflect on what's going on the process and where we can meet each other with the youth delegates and the youth representative from the across the globe. So it is very interesting. It's like 2 days full of the conversations, and it is very interactive.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what was the, if I ask you, what was the most significant story that you heard? Or the person, the most inspiring person that you met, what would be your reply?
So I know that from this process that there's the UN Women provide like a seat for a youth. Mm-hmm. There's like youth delegates from the, each member states, but unfortunately, I haven't met and found that Indonesia and from my country, there's a youth delegate. So, yeah, I'm looking for, but I can find. But from the others' countries, it is very interesting how they are really engaged to the process, the negotiations. They are really fighting for strong language in the document, something like that. And for those who are not directly involved in the negotiation, because we are not like formal delegates, but very active in that in the process of the raising awareness and then building like a collective movement of the youth. So I think that's very inspiring, and this is something that I want to bring back to my communities and to connect with the fellow youth in my countries.
Yeah. You know, talking about, you know, you going back ultimately to Indonesia, a big topic of discussion was 2024 and the global elections that were going on in more than 60 countries. Mm. Indonesia just finished. You know, the elections. Mm. So the question that I asked to my guest is, so why, because, you know, that's what we're talking about here in this last week and this week. Those elections are very important in with regard to gender equality.
Yeah.
Your elections already took place. So was it indeed important in the, you know, running towards the ultimately, you know, the election of the new president and the parties? Or was gender equality not that important? And so tell a little bit about the situation in Indonesia.
Yeah, it is very important, especially for youth, for us, because this year, the votes of the young people will represent like more than a half of the total vote. So it's around like 55% of the total vote. And although it's already finished, the elections, and it is, it has been very like an intense democratic process for us. And this year, it's like it's different from 5 years ago, where I saw that there's so many youth-led organizations. Mm-hmm. Who are very pay attention and involved in the process of the elections. I mean, like raising awareness and then educations, educating youth voters for the first time voters. I mean, something like that. And it is very important because for women and girls, young women and girls. Because we know that there is a saying like personal is political. So in Indonesia, we experience that almost all of our lives, I mean, like our choices, our body is constructed by the mm-hmm. patriarchal system. So I think that it is very important for us to understand the process and how the systems is work in our country. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that the engagement of the young people in my country for this year elections is much better than the last election.
Okay, so there was a good turnout of the younger population.
But
there were no female candidates, right?
Yeah, that's very...
So we have to do something about that.
Yeah, but in my Yogyakarta, mm-hmm. there's a... We observed that there's like a young representative mm-hmm. In the province.
So okay.
It's like fresh for us.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So okay, we there is hope.
Yeah, there is hope.
Sakar, when we look at the CSW 68 theme, it tries to emphasize the necessity to accelerate gender equality by addressing poverty and enhancing financing with a gender perspective. Can you maybe share one action or an investment you believe is critical in making progress on gender equality?
We see that there's an intersection between addressing poverty with mm-hmm. building the community resilience in our context. Yeah. By building community resilience with local actions, mm-hmm. We're doing like a community mapping, and then the community themselves decide the local solution that fit their capacity, mm-hmm. and the solution, the actions is provide like a co-benefit from them. Mm-hmm. So first is to for the community preparedness, mitigation, and adaptations. But on the other side, the actions also provide the, for example, like strengthening the cultural and social modality, mm-hmm. and also strengthening their economic capacity. Mm-hmm. For example, like in Yogyakarta, the community established like a food barn, mm-hmm. groceries, or waste management where they can sell the waste and then they get the profit, mm-hmm. something like that. That it helped them to address their local issue, but it is also generating income for mm-hmm. them. But it is require technical assistance, it requires funding, flexible mm-hmm. funding. So I think that the strategic and critical for community in grassroots level is that to provide them with resources, access, and also their role in the decision-making process so they can decide. Because like, for example, in the village where the village budget is usually earmarked, so women and girls cannot... have a space in enough advocacy space in that. Yeah, so I think that's important.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. Sakar, you are, although you're young, you have had two different jobs within Yakum. You started as a communication person and now you're in program, right?
Yep.
And now you're here participating in this big event around gender equality. What drives you in your efforts towards, gender equality? And can you maybe share an experience or an initiative, to make it clear, why to the listeners?
Yeah. In my communities, I mean, like, during my childhood and when I growing up, I think I saw a lot of the injustice mm-hmm. and inequality, but I myself in my family I think I am very lucky that my family is very supportive for mm-hmm. me and I from that experience, from that personal experience where my family provide me with the space, they can talk to me in equal. I think it's very important, and I believe that kind of support it is very important for any individuals, for women and girls to find their full potential. Mm. So I think that's the thing that motivate me to share to make sure that my friends or the girls in my community also have the similar experience, mm. so they can find their full potentials.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's great that you're part of the ACT Alliance Youth Delegation. Mm. But how is that back home in Indonesia? You know, the participation of the younger generation, is that also significant? And how do you see anyway the role, you know, of youth in your community in, you know, pushing the agenda forward?
Mm. Yeah, from this process where I cannot find or haven't found the youth delegates from Indonesia, I think mm-hmm. it's still very you know, the space is very limited mm-hmm. for youth. But back in my country, actually there's like so many like independent collective movement mm-hmm. that is led by young people. Okay. That is very inspiring. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, they are not supported by the government. Or yeah, I mean, like maybe there's like process of the raising awareness, but it's not covered in the like a national program mm-hmm. or national national budget that can support with it. So I think it's already there. I mm-hmm. mean, like the initiative, the awareness of the young people in my country, mm-hmm. but the challenge is that how to scaling up the impact mm-hmm. of that.
Mm. Well, what I, because I, you know, I've lived and worked in Indonesia mm. myself as well, but mm. I experience is that, you know, showing respect for the elderly is very important. Mm. Does that make it difficult maybe for youth to, you know, to get a seat around the table or not? As you know, is also Indonesia changing and, you know, it's also, you know, relatively... easy for you to, you know, to share your voice yeah. and your opinion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So in Indonesia, we know that there's like saying like sopan santun, or we need to be very polite with mm-hmm. Someone that is older than us. I think there's a hope because currently I see that there's like older people than us in the so many institution or mm-hmm. spaces that already open the space for young people. So they're open the dialogue, the intergenerational yeah. dialogue when they, because they already aware that it is important to include young people in the system, mm-hmm. in the process. But there's still, older people that still think that we don't have the expertise. Mm. I mean, like we are not experienced, and it is sometimes push us back. Mm-hmm. I mean, like yeah, okay, yeah, but I think that when we have the capacity or the communication skill mm-hmm. to build the conversations in the. Although it's maybe like a difficult conversations, but when we have like a strategies to do it, mm-hmm. it is still possible for the older people or the people around us to understand us as a young people with our experiences.
Yeah. Mm. And have you been able here in New York to connect with the people from the mission or not yet?
Yeah, unfortunately not yet. But before I got here, I'm trying to contact with our ministry offices, like in the Kementerian Perempuan dan Perlindungan Anak, because I met
the women's ministry and the children's protection department.
Yeah, so because I met them in several events in Yogyakarta, and I told them like, I will be one of the representation from organization that will attend the CSW. So it is very good if I can talk, or if you have like a forum group discussions with the CSO. Yeah, I'm really interested and appreciate if you can invite us, but there's no response, unfortunately. And I heard that they are opening like an exhibitions in the Indonesian Mission Office, so I maybe in my still have like 2 days here, so I will make my time to go there.
That would be great. Okay, then the next time you can maybe organize some events together. Isakar, you know, music is very important to me, so I always have questions about music as well. Most of my guests find that question the most difficult one. But if I ask you to, and just for the listeners, you know, we are still in New York, you hear a lot of the sounds of the police around, there is still construction going on in this building, so bear with us. If I ask you to come up with a piece of music or a song that inspires you or reflects your journey in gender equality, which song or piece of music would that be and why?
That's interesting questions, because I never, you know, I mean, like, I never trying to understand music and connected it with my journey in the gender equality. But I think it's not like an old song, but it is song from Yura Yunita. It's like Indonesian singer, women Indonesian singer, and the song entitled "Tutur Batin." So it's like I think it's really relevant for us young people.
Can you translate maybe the title for the listeners?
It is very "Tutur Batin." It's like "Tutur" is a word. And batin is soul. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like maybe words from the soul. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's the lyrics, I think it's all about how the women is celebrated. I mean, because there's a lot of the struggling and also maybe struggling that we are facing as women, as a young woman, but it is very important to celebrate and celebrate ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so to be, I think it's make me feel like when I feel like tired or exhausted, it giving me like empowered again, so
it energizes you.
Yeah, energize, and it's make me like, oh, okay, so I'm sad. I'm sad in, I mean, like in a good way. I mean, like, it's been a long journey, and I'm still here, and I still want to continue the journey. So I think it's
great, and then we will check out that song. You know what I also hope with this podcast is that I'm contributing to connecting people. So I'm connecting you with the listeners, but I also would like to connect you with my other guests. Mm. And so I have two questions for you from two previous guests. Yeah. The first question is,
what one experience in your life has impacted your own sense of gender justice the most?
All right. The experience. I think it will be the experience of me yeah, it's also connected with my personal experiences with my family again. Mm-hmm. I think I'm feeling very grateful for them, and yeah, because I've heard like my friends, my college, when they are told me that they have no capacity or the opportunity to decide for themselves. Mm. I think it's very hurtful for me, because maybe I don't have like experience like that, because my family is very supportive. Mm. But hearing or seeing how the others have no opportunity to decide, mm-hmm, for themselves is making me very very sad. So
sad. Okay.
Yeah.
So you know when you were observing that from your friends, although mm-hmm, you know you were always supported by your family, but you see that they are not. Yeah. That's hurtful. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, the other question that I have for you is here a little video that I'm going to show you.
My question for this guest would be, is there anything that you saw in CSW that you didn't see that you wish you saw in CSW, whether that's an issue or a type of session or just a general idea that you wish was discussed but wasn't, and how would you talk about it?
I think it would be the issue of representation.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like I see that there's a lot of young people, mm-hmm, that I met during my engagement and participation here, during our process, we also acknowledged that there's a lot of the women and girls who is missing from the conversations, mm-hmm, because they maybe do not have the privilege to come here. Mm. And how the UN can support that? I mean, like for the young people, mm-hmm, but also not only the young people, but also the grassroots community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like it will be very, very strong if we are not represent them, but they come here to, mm-hmm, voice for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's gonna be like very strong advocacy process for, mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. No, and again, for the listeners who are not aware, of course, you know, at the end of the day, it's not up to the UN to, mm-hmm, let people in within the US, mm-hmm, and a lot of folks that were invited, in the end did not get the visa to enter the US, so they could not participate. Mm-hmm. So that's every year again a challenge. And, you know, I have some guests who were suggesting, you know, maybe it should be held in another country where it's easier to, you know, to go to. Mm. Sakari, you know, normally I talk with my guests an hour. So, you know, during the CSW, it's shorter, and as I kind of try to solve that challenge in terms of, oh, how can I still get a lot of questions? I came up with a couple of rapid fire questions.
All right.
So we will go fast, and your answers need to be short. So if possible, you know, if I ask you one word, you only do one word. If I ask you to say yes or no, you have to pick one.
Okay.
Are you ready for that?
Yeah. Okay. I'm ready.
There we go. In one word, what do you think is the biggest barrier to gender equality globally?
Patriarchy.
Okay. Yes or no question. Can technology significantly accelerate gender equality?
Yes.
Who is one person that has significantly influenced your approach to gender equality?
My mentor.
Okay. Who's your mentor?
It's in my for my office. It's Mia. And okay. Ami, so mentors.
Mentors, yeah. Okay. What's one book you recommend everyone reads to understand gender equality better?
I forget the title. I think it's I have one in mind, mm-hmm. but I cannot remind it. So I come with Ayu Utami. So mm-hmm. she is the writer and all of her books.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. My sister will appreciate that. She's a very good friend of Ayu. In three words, how do you envision the future of gender equality?
It's mutual understanding and respect.
Okay.
What is it for?
No, it's two.
It's two?
Mutual understanding, I would consider as one.
That's
and
right.
Then
respect.
And the respect is two?
It's
and what
two?
Is the third word?
So the third word is solidarity.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now you, the listeners also hear, you know, songs and dancing that are going on one floor up here. So it's always a lot happening during the CSW. Mm. If you could change one thing about the world today to advance gender equality, what would it be?
I think it's leadership of, women leadership.
Okay.
Yeah.
What message would you send to your future self, let's say 5 years from now, regarding your work in gender equality?
All right. I would say to my future self that thank you for doing this, and don't forget to take care of yourself and enjoying the time with the people you love. Yeah, and don't forget why you are here and who make you here. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. So any question that you would like to get back to, you know, to explain more, or are you happy with?
Yeah, I'm happy. Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Okay. Before I thank you for, you know, your willingness to talk with me and sharing your experience and wisdom, is there maybe a question that I should have asked you but I did not ask you?
I think there's no. Yeah.
No, you're good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Then I would like to thank you.
Yeah.
And you're going back on Sunday?
Thursday.
Oh, so
in
you...
In the late evening.
Oh, this Thursday already.
Yeah, this
okay,
Thursday.
So you don't stay until the end. Okay, I would like to wish you safe travels.
Thank you so much, Maurice.
And thank you so much. And say, you know, yeah, many regards from me to Indonesia.
Yeah.
I love that country, so...
Thank you so much.
Okay, yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Walk, Talk, Listen. Please check us out on 100mile.org or follow us on Facebook or Instagram.